and in another language, too. We are so blessed. Well, it's my privilege to welcome to our pulpit here at Carriage Lane, Dr. Ebenezer Samuel. And if that isn't a name for a preacher, I don't know what it is, right? Ebby, as he's known, is the founder and president of Serve India Ministries, which is involved in evangelizing and church planting in India. Serve India Ministries' mandate is clear and it's concise, as you'll hear. It's to plant at least one church in 100,000 unreached villages in India by the year 2020. 20,000 native missionaries are being trained even now and equipped to reach villages each year. So, Ebony, please come bring the word to us, and we're glad to have you here.
I know it's a rare privilege to be here. I want to, first of all, say thanks to God. And thank you, Tim. Thank you, Carriage Lane, for reaching out to us. I met with the Missions Committee a year ago. We partner with Equipping Leaders International, two girls here, and we know it for the last 5 or 6 years. They've been investing in our ministry quite a bit. And then they bring us here and introduce us to this great family. Very glad to be here, very blessed to be here. And may the Lord speak your hearts from his word today. Now, John chapter 4, verse 35, this is my key verse. 35, John 4, 35. Do you not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Now, who's saying this? Jesus is saying this. He says, lift up your eyes and look at the fields. They're ready. Ready for harvest. Now, can you honestly say, as you look around, you're standing at Walmart or at a stadium or somewhere, or in your office, look around, all these people are going to come to Jesus soon. But you know, it's not your opinion or my opinion that's going to count. He has declared that. He said this is going to happen. And it's happening. Living in India and serving among the pastors that they're training and sending to 40,000 villages. I can believe that. And I can believe that with all my heart. I'll just share with you a quick story here. We work 99% of the villages and some in the big cities. You've heard about Slum Dog Millionaire and the big slums of Mumbai. One of the guys that lived there was a gangster, and he says that he's killed only 23 people so far. Now, two young fellows that have given their lives to God wanted to witness to him. They got up in his house, and they were warned never to come. He told them, if you came again, I would bury you alive right here, and nobody would know. Long story short, there came a time when he had to go into hiding, and who did he find when he needed help? Those two young fellows. They took him. He didn't tell them that he was trying to hide. He just told them, he deceived them. He said, I want to go to your conference. So it was a conference like this, and he got him to the conference. Best place to hide. Nobody would be looking for a gangster in the midst of a mission conference. Again, fast forwarding, before the end of the conference, this man gave his heart to Jesus. Today, he lives in one of those big slums of Mumbai, and he has led 720 people to Christ. He's a pastor. And he's one of the pastors they're currently training through our ministry and sending to different locations to preach the gospel as we're training them. So let's just buy into this. It's not my opinion, it's not your opinion. It's God's declaration. The field is ready for harvest. Now, Jesus is saying this in a matter-of-fact way. I don't know, but the disciples to whom he said this were willing to buy this at that point of time. But Jesus knew what he was talking. He knew. Now, let's take this and apply to ourselves right away. We're good Christians, Bible-believing Christians, part of the great church. Now, is this the dream that we're living for? The dream that the reason why Jesus went to the cross 2,000 years ago to shed his blood is going to come true in our times. Or do we have problems? Do we have doubts? Do we have questions? If I believe in that dream, in that statement that Jesus made, I'm going to put all the eggs in that one basket. I'm going to give it all. I'm going to invest my time. I'm going to invest my energies. I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to live it. And I'm going to constantly do my bit to make it happen. In India, the situation is such that we're able to believe. Now, I'm not saying that everybody's knocking on our doors. They're not. There's more persecution than you want to know. But what's happening is the handful of believers that have accepted Christ are actually willing to open their eyes. That's what I want us to do this morning at this missions conference. Open their eyes and see the harvest. God has given them the grace to see what Jesus sees and believe in what Jesus believes. Would to God that He would give us a grace this morning through the power of the Holy Spirit to buy into this vision of bringing this whole world to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We just heard this great story from Africa. And I want to tell you today, through many stories that I'm going to share with you, that is happening in India as well. Now, I went to this convention on top of a hill at 3,000 altitude and spoke at the very first meeting. It was like a missions conference. But in the midst of a tribal community, several hundreds of them had come to know Jesus, and they were all sitting in front of me, and I was challenging them to go and win the lost. Now, we like to drink chai tea in India, so after the first session, we had a tea break, and took me to a place, and they were giving me tea, and, you know, it's a very tribal, very rural situation. They had not given me a printer program or anything. I just knew that there was going to be another opportunity for me to speak, and so I just walked back into the venue thinking that I was going to now be part of the second meeting, but I didn't find anybody. There was no one in the whole area. I thought they didn't like my message. And then I asked one of the others standing there, what happened to the crowd? He said, you know, this is what we do. We listen to the message, the first message, and then look at that. You know, they were actually on top of another hill. They should have walked down this hill and walked up another hill. And they were all in that village preaching the gospel. That's what I had told them in the first session. And now the second session was actually preaching the gospel. How about us doing this? Would you please make a decision right now in your heart? It's one thing to just be part of a great church and do missions around the world and, you know, rattle all that you're doing. But it's quite another for you and me to, on a daily basis, share about Jesus with someone that they're working with, someone that we know, someone that we meet with at the Walmart or someplace. That's the giving we want to do first before we send our resources. That's what we read. The gave themselves, and then they gave all of the glory. Because they had bought into the vision that had been given to them by the apostles. And I want you to know, I'm not talking some kind of story here. This is for real. It's happening in Africa. By God's grace, God searchlights are on the global south, and more than you want to know, people are walking into the kingdom. Why? In the West, Europe is almost lost, and 50% of you do not, maybe I'm not talking about you, you know, America, is not Christian already, and the churches are losing a lot of young people. You and I do not want to buy into this. There's no hope. There's just no hope. Somebody said yesterday, in 30 years, America would be like Europe. God forbid. God forbid. If I don't want to do it, nobody will do it. That's what I want every individual to think about this morning. Now, Jesus was making this great statement in a certain context. He was speaking to the Samaritan woman. He was reaching out to her, answering a question. And he was doing some personal evangelism right there. Jesus was into missions right there. And then when the disciples come, he tells them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and finish his work. I don't have any other agenda. Nothing else is more important. Our brother who works in Latvia was sharing a story how he had these recreations and all kinds of buying big cars and guns and vacation, all kinds of things. Before God grabbed his heart, made a missionary out of him, and sent him to Latvia. You know why I say that? You know, probably he bought into this. He said, I have no other agenda, no other purpose. And then, we also see Jesus further revealing himself. So much so that not just the Samaritan woman, but the whole village comes and says, oh, we know that he can save you. It is in this context that Jesus says, the field is ready unto harvest. Now, you read it again. There are 8 4 months. Don't you say there are 8 4 months? Then comes the harvest. Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Now, I have a personal story to share with you, if you don't mind. As a 19-year-old, I got saved. I had been born into an Episcopal church, and we were church-oriented, Bible reading, monthly prayers all the time. I was in the choir for 10 years, but that made me Christian. When I made a personal commitment to Jesus when I was 19, the very next thing that crossed my mind was, I need to give the rest of my life to the one who died for me on the cross of Calvary. I think it was purely God's grace. That was at least 40 years ago. You thought I was only 30, right? I like to believe that. You know, he calls me Uncle Jim. Okay, I am an uncle, actually. So, 40 years ago, this journey started. And I've been seeing in my country people coming to know the Lord. I'm talking about the country, 1.3 billion people. 4 times your population, 1 million of them are Hindus, idol worshippers, 174 million Muslims, making us the second largest Muslim nation in the world. And yet, the gospel is real. Jesus is real. And there are breakthroughs after breakthroughs. All because, I want to say, I told you right at the beginning, people are knocking on our door. There is persecution, and yet, those of us, the handful of us, who have believed, are willing to open our eyes and see. so we believe that, and we go and do it. I'll share a story with you, Ricky, now. You know, but before that, in the 40 years of journey with Jesus, proclaiming the gospel, at some point, that was exactly 12 years ago, the Lord called me to come alongside native pastors and train them on the one hand, and simultaneously send them to the villages to preach the gospel. You know, we do that by sending each one of those that we train. They're training currently only 8,017 of them across 25 states, and each one of them is working at least in 5 villages. So a 19-year-old was picked up by God and helped to believe that God can do this in India, and I'm so blessed to have received this vision. I can hook it up. God put it in my heart, 100,000 villages to be reached through 20,000 native pastors. And we have a strategy, 5 years of Bible training on the field, and while they're being trained, each one of them is sent to 5 villages. And it makes them self-supporting, not dependent on us in any way. It's only an investment of 5 years. And Carriage Lane is investing in 20 of those pastors. Thank God for that. But I'm just saying, one person who's going to believe that the field is ready at a time when it didn't seem that it was ready. God made my heart ready and put me into this. I'm enjoying this ministry. God helped me to start 12 years ago. Prior to that, I worked with 3 different ministries. I would plead with you to believe that God will, your context, your family, your extended family, to whom you can actively witness, to your colleagues, to the young people in your area, or to the young people that go to your university or high school or wherever, I want you to believe that they are the field that God is talking about. Here's a story. This woman that was standing in the marketplace, a totally uneducated woman, was handed a gospel tract by one of the pastors. She returned it to him, gave it back to him, saying, "I can't read." The pastor stood there and read it aloud. And she heard it, and she accepted Jesus then and there as her Savior. Started coming to church. One of the Sundays, the pastor said, "You know what? I'm like a shepherd. I'm a shepherd. I don't have to multiply. But the sheep have to multiply. So there'll be no empty pews. All the seats are taken on a Sunday morning like this." That's what he's trying to communicate. You guys need to go and bring others into the kingdom. I don't know how many of them bought into that, how many of them said we'll do that. This woman, this uneducated woman, a new believer, never went out of her house after that without a bunch of gospel tracts. The pastor told me about it. She was working as a maidservant in 7 households. Lawyer, attorney, our rich businessman, professor, all kinds of people. She would go and wash dishes with them. In 6 straight months, she brought 7 families to the church. Don't know what she said and how she said what she said. But the pastor said those 7 families walked in the church in 6 straight months. That's what I mean this morning when I say, let's not just say, "Oh, yeah, good, the field is ready, and our church sends missionaries, and we send our checks." I honor that. I congratulate you on that. But at the same time, I do not want to move on and look at our second lesson this morning without making a commitment, encouraging every one of us to make a commitment to participate very deliberately in the act of bringing the harvest into the storehouse of God. I can do that. You can do that. Would you? Or make some kind of a decision in our hearts that would make this mission conference, a real missions conference. Very meaningful and purposeful. It's not about raising a bunch of children. It's about giving ourselves to the priority, of bringing in the lost. And if I haven't done that, I can ask myself a question. When was the last time I cared to tell anybody about Jesus? When was the last time I actually brought somebody to church? When was the last time I made a list of unbelievers I know and started to seriously pray consistently for them? This is much more we can do if you believe in what God is saying here. The second lesson that I'd like to share with you is when Jesus says, time has come for the harvest, I believe he is underlining the need for finishing the task. Jesus came to finish the task. That's why he didn't leave it open-ended. He said, I've come to give my life, and I'm coming again to gather you all. There's going to be, from now on, a limited period of time. And within the time, go to the ends of the world, Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, and outermost parts of the world, wherever, preach the gospel. And Paul would preach the gospel from Jerusalem to Illyria and undertake all those missionary journeys. And there was feverish activity in the midst of those newly planted churches. They were all about sharing the gospel with others. So I see this passage, and in the context of this passage, Jesus emphasizing, highlighting the need for finishing the task. I'm running out of time here, so I don't want to go to all those processes I have, but I'll quickly tell you, it is more than evident in a country like India. I'm using it only as an illustration this morning. I'm not saying that it's not happening here in the United States or in any other part of the world. Now, in the early days of our ministry, it's happened at least 11 years ago, when we started this ministry in this one particular region of India, this one particular state where there are 169 million people. Believe that? One state, 169 million people, and not even a tiny dot of Christians, just a few Christians. And one among them joined us, and he wanted to be a missionary. And he took his wife and infant son, and they started being missionaries in a very rural area, remote area. One early morning, somebody knocked on the door. He opened the door, a tall and evil-looking man. I don't know why they're all tall people are evil, but this one was tall and evil. And before you serve, the man said, I'm a robber. Mr. Robber knocked on the front door at 6 o'clock in the morning, trying to gain some legal entry. What brings you here? He must have been trembling in his shoes. The man said, 2 weeks ago, you were passing your gospel tracts at the marketplace. I was in the visiting crowd. You probably were not paying attention. I took one of those, and I started to read, and when I started to read, I was very angry with you. I wanted to come and hurt you. But you know, at that point of time, some power overcame me and made me read the gospel tract over and over and over again. And when I read it the 10th time, I knew I was a child of God. I'm here to ask you, what is next? What is next? Discipleship. That's part of our program. We train. So the pastor said, okay, from tomorrow onwards, we meet at your house and have a Bible study every day in the morning. A few weeks went by, and one day a total stranger walks into the Bible study, and the singer says, are you guys talking about one Jesus Christ? He said, yes, we're talking about Jesus Christ. You want to join? He said, I'm not interested. But a brother of mine, a cousin of mine, who lives in a village 10 miles away, saw a dream a few days ago And in the dream, he was asked to send for somebody that would go and tell him about Jesus. He was given even the contact information in the dream. Now that's spooky, but it happened. It happened. So the next day, the missionary goes there and finds 25 people being willing to listen to what he's going to say. Now, does that sound like Jesus is about finishing the task? He's throwing the net and bringing a lot of people. Those 25 people accepted Christ. And this guy, in time, the next 10 years, ended up training, deploying 600 more missionaries like him. He became the leader of his group and working in at least 3,000 villages in this one state of Uttar Pradesh. That is like in California, the most densely populated state, where Hindus believe they have the gateway to heaven. Now, let me close with our third lesson for this morning. Jesus said and encouraged everybody to look at the field and implied that they're about finishing the task. I'm sure Jesus really wanted to encourage his disciples to commit themselves to the task. To commit themselves to this task. And somebody was saying again, I think it was a brother from Latvia, who said, you know, for a lot of us here, there's no cost. There's no cost to follow Jesus. Is that true? You can follow Jesus, believe in Jesus, come to church, go back and do your own thing. Cost is that. And we know from other parts of the Bible that, you know, for example, Acts chapter 20, 24, my favorite verse, Paul says this, but I do not account my life of any value, not as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. He said, my life is of no value. But are we living a life in such a way that, you know, we're living all for Jesus, all for the sake of the kingdom, focusing completely on the priorities of the kingdom, and not just for our own sake? Let's think about that. Jesus was not making a statement just so they can appreciate it and consider it as prophetic. Okay, you know this is going to be happening. No. You know, he knew that he was going to cross and shed his blood, and it was them who were going to go and die for that cause. Not long ago, one of our missionaries went to this village, preached the gospel. People took note of him. And as he was leaving the village, a crowd followed him to the railway station. He had to take a train to go back home. They got on the train, and fast forwarding, they beat him so bad that he fell unconscious. And hours later, he found himself in a hospital. What had happened was they beat him and pushed him out of a moving train. Native missionaries are willing to pay the price. Did he stop being a missionary? No. He still has that vision to go to those five villages. He'll probably go back to the same village which did that to him. I just want to share this free book with you. India, we don't have copies for everybody. One per family also may be a problem this morning, but you know, rush to a table and take it. 30 stories of the kind I just shared with you, but it's not just a storybook. It is like a prayer journal, one story per day and a bunch of prayer letters. And if you care looking at the themes and considering the priority, buying into that vision, and now finally giving ourselves even sacrificially to help fulfill the vision of Jesus Christ for the whole world. One good thing to do is to start praying. Praying. This is a prayer journal. A 17-year-old who went to India to see our ministry, didn't want a name on it, so no name here. I don't mind it. She wrote the stories that she heard. And this here is the book. So I would like to share it with you, and let us continue to follow the Lord and believe in what He wants us to believe, and each one of us would do what needs to be done. Shall we pray? Lord, I thank you personally for laying hold of me 40 years ago and putting me on this path. And you've given me the grace to walk this path against all odds, in spite of all kinds of adversities, challenges, doubts, discouragements. Lord, this morning, would you please revive us? We want the Holy Spirit to come down upon us like it came down in the upper room, and revive us, oh God. Revive us. Make our sensitive to what you're saying to us individually this morning. You want us to consider your kingdom the highest priority in life. And you want us to give ourselves to you and to the priority of the kingdom so that we can be busily involved, wholeheartedly involved in finishing the task. And Lord, if need be, we would go. We would serve. We would pour out our lives, not counting the cost. We want to give our lives. We want to give our time. We want to give our energy sacrificially. Lord, in this context, Lord, we want to give our money also generously so that this church can send more and more and more missionaries and support more and more and more projects and participate in the kingdom's work. We are yours, and we have is yours. We put ourselves on your altar this morning as a sacrifice. Take this and use this for your glory, Jesus. In your name, we pray.